It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez. And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. You know, in 1987, when I first started covering high school sports, the WIAA offices were on Parkridge Drive in Whiting, and the staff consisted of some true legends. Executive Director John Roberts, Associate Director Matt Oddie, and Assistant Directors Don Herman, Karen Kuhn, and Frank McCormick, as well as Joseph Jones, who was the Director of Office Services and the Benefit Plan Manager. We'll get into that in a minute. They would be followed by Doug Chickering, Dave Anderson and Wade Lebecki, Deb Hauser, Marcy Thurwalker, and Tom Shafransky. Well, the last of that era will be leaving the WIAA next month when Tom retires after 22 years with the WIAA and 42 years in high school sports. For all of those 22 years, Tom has been the assistant director overseeing golf. And Tom Shafransky, thanks for jumping in and Talking.Golf. I can't believe it's been 22 years that you've been in Stevens Point.
I can't either. Rob, thanks so much. I'm so happy to be here. You've been a great friend all the way through. And I can't believe that 42 years is coming to an end. It truly feels like things were just getting started back in 1982, and everything was just taking off. So I don't know where the time has gone.
Well, and I'm glad you started there. Now, you graduated from UW-Stevens Point in 82. Yes. Your first teaching job was at West Bend East teaching business education to people like Rob Reichel of the Middleton Times Tribune and the Waukesha Freeman and my good friend Tammy Supernot Madsen, who used to write for the Cap Times. Did you really teach those guys? And at that point, what was life like for Tom Shafransky as it related to high school sports?
Well, both Rob and Tammy taught me as much as I taught them. They were truly terrific. And I'm so proud of them for their accomplishments. It was awesome to watch their careers grow and blossom through the years. And Rob certainly has continued on into, writing some great books and just producing great communications for everybody here in the state of Wisconsin. Our whole element to things was one of just, growth and trying to help people get to what they wanted to do. And that's really been what I've done all along as well. Just tried to help people grow, help people get better, and find ways to give them the tools to make that happen, and then listen to what people were looking for. Try to identify what is it that's needed out there, and how can we make that happen, both in the golf industry and all of the high school sport industry, and then for Tammy and Rob, within the communications industry, with what people were looking for within the subscribers and individuals who they were assisting.
So, Tom, back then, how did you get involved in high school sports? Were you coaching? Were you, hanging out at the games? I mean, something had to light the fire to get you where you are today.
A great question. I had some great, great people to help me with all of this, starting with Bob Krieger at UWSP. He was just a tremendous mentor for me. But I also, right from the get-go, even while I was in high school, I was coaching either middle school or high school sports, believe it or not, as I was still in there. Some freshman teams and things like that when I could help out with Don Soderberg, Bob Rochek. I can go back to Greg Wendorf. The Ole period that was in Wisconsin Rapids. All of these people, Ole was actually my when I was in eighth grade, Ole was my Bucks basketball coach at the workshop where I got to know him so well. And we still have a picture of him and I and Oscar Robertson together, and that I've shared with Oscar Robertson. And he's so happy. I would always ask, how's Ole? Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, but so close with all those people who just meant a lot and all had those high school ties.
And we're talking about Bob Olson, I take it, at Rapids.
Bob Olson, yep, yes, correct.
And of course, I grew up in Wisconsin Rapids, so I had the honor of we lived across the street from Assumption, so Foley was coaching right across the street. And then, of course, for a while there, it was Bob Olson and Jack Bennett in the same town, and they ran the Raider rookie program and the Raider Royal basketball camps in the summer mostly. And those were such great times because you were learning from two true legends there.
You did. You know, I think Stevens Point, Wisconsin Rapids had – they were people who were so passionate about high school sport. And it truly rubbed off on you. You know, if you weren't participating, you were going to those events and you were involved in them. So if you were playing football, you still were going over to the girls' volleyball tournaments. And remember, those were the days when it was just starting. You know, girls' athletics was really just getting underway, but you just supported one another and it just became part of you. It wasn't that you wanted to do it. It was something that you had to do and to be a part of it. I think back to those days and everything that meant, being in high school in the 70s and then going to UWSP in the late 70s, early 80s, just to be a part of everything that was happening within Central Wisconsin, I think it really goes back to the people who put such an effort forward to help young student-athletes be able to reach goals and do what they wanted to do for the rest of their lives. That's certainly how I feel.
Yeah, and certainly you had, you know, two large high schools in Wisconsin Rapids, Lincoln, and Stevens Point Area Senior High, the dreaded SPASH. But then you also had Pacelli and Assumption, who were, you know, I think torchbearers for the old WISSA, the WISSA. And, you know, it was, I think, an honor to grow up in that era. I graduated in 84. Girls' sports town at that point, for me, were part of the landscape. And I didn't know a life without them. But as I look back on it, I mean, it was truly almost not quite ground floor, but they were really, you know, fighting to get attention, fighting to get, you know, better state tournament venues, and, you know, practice times, the whole works. It was truly a time of transition still, even though I might not have been aware of it.
Yeah, it became, Rob, kind of a time of acceptance that we didn't even think about. GAA and so forth had been offered to girls for so long, and now all of a sudden athletics appeared, but we were young enough where we didn't know any different. And we didn't know any different not to accept and not to accommodate and provide opportunities for girls that we were friends with in school, that we were dating, that were all a part of our lives. And it's women now like Dr. Laurel Rudolph, who we see at every state tournament and everything as helping out, training and just being around at football, at wrestling. That's all of us. It was just something that you did, and you provided ways and means in order to help those individuals and help those teams and help those programs reach their full potential, best that you could, every which way.
Tom, I don't want to minimize what they call the dash. Of course, Brian Anderson used that term when we were talking about Bob Uecker last week and said that Bob's dash was probably the most flamboyant and funnest dash of anybody in the history of life. And so I don't want to, you know, gloss over your time at Rhinelander High School, Wausau East, and at Stevens Point to get to the WIA, but certainly you learn things at each stop along the way. Was there one or two things or a place that really stood out that, you said, wow, this is I can really make a difference?
Well, at each of them, I truly felt that way, starting with West Bend. West Bend was a very unique experience, two schools in one building.
Right.
And that in and of itself had a lot of learning for me to go through because there was all of this collaboration that you always had to do. I was at West Bend East and working with the administration at West Bend West was important to me, but they also were our competitor. So you had to really learn how to balance a lot of that. The funniest story that I can tell about that, Rob, is, and perhaps the best example, was we would always have pep assemblies. And one of the things is I became an administrator, a coach there. We had some success. We won a state championship in girls basketball. Rick Reel was the head coach. I was his assistant. We had just great things going on. Football, we finally made the playoffs and everything. But I became an administrator after coaching. And one of the craziest things was we had these pep assemblies. All right, now they're rivals and we're playing one another, and the pep assembly would be right before that football game. And we would go to the west side, all the, and this was 1,300 students would all go to the gymnasium on the west side, and all of the west students would go to the auditorium on the east side. So everybody would cross in the middle of the school on the way to their pep assembly, and we never had an incident.
Wow.
And it was an amazing type of feat when I go back and think about that, to organize all of them and have so much success and all the coordination that went on. But yeah, those things all certainly led to going to Rhinelander and becoming the district athletic director up there, having a great time. Ironically, that was where Jack Bennett and I got things going, and we have great stories that can be shared about Hodag Land. It is, Hodags are truly near and dear to me, and that time up there was extremely special to be able to work with all of those athletic programs, and perhaps even more importantly, Rob, right there, the learning part. I was sharing this with a couple of people the other day. Al Quartermont was a key person at Channel 12,
yeah,
right at that point. And Al and Jack and I really were the ones to start a Sunday night high school highlights half hour that
wow.
ran from 10:30 to 11 on Channel 12. They didn't know what to do with it. They ran out of fishing shows and hunting shows to put on. So we came up with this idea of, hey, let's get Hodag Sports on there, and you can show the highlights of it, what's taken place that week, so that people focus in. Well, the ratings started to blossom, and people
wow.
started to watch like crazy. So we said, well, let's go to Crandon. Let's go to Eagle River up to Northland Pines. Let's go over to Minocqua and do some let's add, you know, just get everybody from the area. And that really, you know, that was 1993, believe it or not, when all of that started. And no one else was doing that in the state. And now look at what TV and radio and everybody. We did the same thing with radio. We had Brian Norton coming to tennis events and to golf events
wow.
to broadcast at those events, because they were able to get people to sponsor and come forward. Parents were willing to do that. And it was all of those things just kind of generated interest in high school sports.
That's incredible. You know, someone needs to write a book about Channel 12 and Rhinelander. I mean, there's been so many careers launched from there. And I think it's pretty cool.
We could add Lance Allen to that list.
Lance Allen, George Stavarikas from the golf
camp. Yeah, that's correct.
12 and Rhinelander. And then didn't Chris Oatman wind up there for a long
yes.
time? He was basically, you know, followed Mark Zelich at Channel 7, and then right. he wound up there. So it's always been in good hands since. But what a diamond in the rough up there.
Yes, for sure. You know, it's just that it's a television station, and in Rhinelander, there aren't any college programs, you know, and nor in and around any of the surrounding areas. So high school sports is the focus when it comes to every Friday night, every Saturday with wrestling meets and all the other things that happen on Saturdays. High school is where it's at, and everybody goes and attends.
So you come to Stevens Point. I read the roster of people that were there when you started there. Doug Chickering, I think, was the man who hired you.
Yes,
and
very, very thankful to Doug.
Well, and you know, his era, you know, led us through the merger of WIA with WISA, and then, you know, so many other milestones in high school sports. Now you came in, and as I mentioned right away, you know, started administering golf, but you also, I'm not sure everyone realizes, every director up there has about four or five sports they're involved with. How did you juggle what you had on your plate, and where, you know, what do you remember most about the early stages of your involvement with golf?
I'll tell you, first of all, I never forget coming down to the first girls tournament in 2002. It was right before we went to two divisions. I actually got to do one year where it was just one division. And I went into Doug's office before leaving here and told him, are you serious? You're actually going to pay me to go down and run this tournament that I just love, love, love to do? And I'm serious. And he will tell you that. He laughed. He said, but get out of here and get down there and get that thing organized. And I do the things that I had a lot. They gave me a lot. I probably have done more state tournaments than anybody in the country, believe it or not. As I look at all the numbers, because I also had tennis and I also had swimming and diving. All those things were in the fall, and I was helping out with football, and I had scholar athlete that you have to start to prepare for at that time of year. All those things truly are happening in those first years. It was kind of gathering in what had gone on and where are we going. And there wasn't any doubt that there were two things that I saw, and one was kind of the promotion marketing of these sports, of these smaller sports, and the beginning of technology that was really starting to hit. When it came to electronic scorecards for golf, when it came to being able to score these meets and share them on a website, that was all really just beginning to be thought of in a little bit of a way, shape, or form. And so trying to put all of that together electronically and get that organized was a huge part of getting things started and just getting scores out so that they could be available for the media shortly after a meet was finished, whether it was golf, tennis, or swimming or diving, all those individual sports. That wasn't even heard of prior to that. So right. We wanted to get that information, get that out there in some way, shape, or form. Worked really hard at that for the first couple of years to get that done.
Well, I should say, this is an audio blog, but I'll have to have you sign this. I'm holding in my hands the 2002 Girls State Tournament program. And, in fact, to your point, Tom, right inside of there is the printout that you would give us. And,
yes.
And so it certainly was a different era. And Mike Urban was the director of golf, I just saw, at University Ridge, and now he's up by you at Century World.
He's now here at Century World.
Yeah. So you've been around golf, I'm sure, most of your life.
Yes.
When you started running the WIA golf tournaments, how did you see them differing from other golf tournaments you had been involved with?
Great question. I always kept the belief in mind, Rob, that our role was for promoting competitive golf for a wide range of skilled athletes. And I say that, notice I didn't use the word golfer. I wanted to get more student athletes involved in the game because I truly believed that this was a lifelong learning experience for both boys and girls. And it was that pursuit that I always kept in mind every step of the way. I love it, that we had Jordan Niebrugies. I love it that we had Pearson Hunts and that we had Casey Danielsons and Izzy Strickers and so forth. They are phenomenal people. But my whole focus was how can we get more high school students understanding competitive golf and participating in it so that they carry that on so that there are more girls in particular and boys who carry that on into their adult years. Because I knew that not only would help the game overall, but would help the overall experience. Golf just, the whole element of calling penalties on yourself and being honorable about it meant so much that I felt as though that was important for young student athletes to truly understand.
So as far as milestones go, you brought one up, the switch from one division to two in girls golf. It had already been that way in boys golf. And I'm old enough, I guess, to remember about the time they went to two divisions in boys golf and then three. And, It's not easy because, the best golfers in those lower divisions like to prove themselves against the large school golfers, but at the same time, from growing the game standpoint, and this probably applies to all the sports that the WI administers, I think the multi-division era has grown interest and among the athletes in the smaller areas, and we're seeing some really, really good competition now.
True, absolutely has. I think twofold. You know, especially going back to going from one division to two divisions in girls, the boys that happened back in the 90s, and so there were things that had already started to develop there, which were very healthy. With the girls, the element was, and I have to say it just this way to tell the facts, Edgewood was a team that no one could defeat and still has 15 state championships that are out there. But the thing that I was always most impressed with, and I think you'll enjoy this a little bit, was I would always talk to the coaches about this, and this has led truly to our current competitive balance change. This whole scenario, it really was the spark point of getting this going. But the key has been the golf coaches, as I would talk with them, always said, Tom, leave it as it is. We believe that we can raise the game with these other programs and match Edgewood. And Edgewood is setting the bar for us, and we want to meet that, and we want to get better. And I have been so proud to watch that happen. And this isn't me. This is the coaches truly doing this. But to watch Prescott work its way up there, to watch Osteo Fairchild all of a sudden become a regular. And, you know, you travel to golf courses. I love driving through Osteo Fairchild. I love driving through Durand, yep. Wisconsin. It's places like that, and just going to those courses to see what's there as those programs have developed, and to see those kids and coaches really making a difference and watching it all come really right to the state championship level.
Well, and you mentioned some of the great athletes that have come through in the golf state tournament, and you know some of them have come in the Division II girls, Division II boys, Division III boys ranks, and maybe to jump, we'll bridge the gap between going to multi divisions and competitive balance. But you know we're about to experience the first year of competitive balance in boys golf, and I notice you won't be around for that though, Tom.
Well, I was for the girls, so it's been introduced.
That's right.
And we really are doing pretty well. I wanted to make sure that a lot of that was in place. I will also say I wanted to make sure that since girls golf was the first golf tournament that I did, that it was the last. I'm not trying to bail.
No, but you'll be around for your successor. And I think because of that, you know, that your successor will come in with maybe a fresh mind on that. And you know, I have a feeling that we might see a little bit different outcome in the boys' golf than the girls, but not necessarily in a bad way. You know, you talked about Division II girls, you know, raising the bar to catch Edgewood. Now it's up to Division III boys to grow the quality of the golf that's played there, because the ones that have been carrying the torches, the Kohlers and the Cambridges and the Mineral Points, are going to be out of there. That's probably, you know, what we're going to see. And in your opinion, how much time do you feel it's going to take to maybe catch up?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. Right away, right out of the gate, just talking about this last year real quickly, Prescott was moved up and ends up being the runner-up.
Yeah.
And actually was had a legitimate shot at winning the tournament with everything. That just says a lot for the development of the girls' game in particular in the state of Wisconsin. There were so many people in the early days as I took over, oh, my God, these and quite honestly, Rob, we still have this with a lot of our courses. They're going to be out there for 7 or 8 hours. We
right.
can't have that on our courses and everything. That is not the case. We've got very skilled girls, but giving girls in particular and boys who really haven't played the game all that much the opportunity to get out there in these competitive meets during the regular season and then to set up a tournament series for them with regionals and sectionals. It means a lot to me, but it means more to these student athletes, who we really have to be concerned about in opening up courses and in providing opportunities for non-champion, non-AJGA level players to get this opportunity. It will mean, especially with girls, as they become parents, will mean so much to those communities as they have children and can pass all of this along, even more so than you see with boys.
And Tom, I've got to say, I recently started a project that's been on my to-do list, and that's to kind of research the history of boys golf, because obviously, none of us were around when that happened and when it started. And I'm shocked that there was very little coverage of it back then. And the reading a story in the Racine Journal Times, I believe it was the athletic director at Racine High School was the one who got it going at Washington Park Golf Course back in 1928, 27, maybe earlier than that, 24, I think. And and he just said that he felt that was a sport that, could and would become popular not only at the high school level, but throughout all walks of life. Not that it wasn't already, but this was an introduction. And those first tournaments were a struggle to kind of develop legitimacy. And I think they did it quite quickly, but it's amazing when you go back to see where things started, what they look like.
I agree. I totally agree. Again, it was some of the reason for doing all of the electronic work that I put in towards things, just so that media had an easy access to it. This is a large part of why it's been so difficult. Going through the years, yes, there is coverage, but you and Gary go directly to those events. And these folks had to go to those events and then track down those golfers somehow after those meets, try to get some information, try to get scores from the administration, which oftentimes kept scorecards very confident. Transparency was not an issue used back in the 1920s.
No. Well, it was funny, too. There was, and I don't have my boys' golf stuff in front of me, but I think it was the third or fourth state champion wound up being disqualified after the tournament because he had worked at Blue Mountain Golf Club. I was fascinated. I thought for a second when I'm reading the actual tournament coverage, this kid won the state tournament with borrowed clubs from the assistant pro at Blue Mountain. And then I look at your book and it's not the same name. So I keep looking and eventually, and there was something there. Apparently it was you couldn't be a caddy or work at a golf course after the age of 16 and still be eligible to play in the state high school tournament. I have no idea why that was, but
amateur status.
Really, yeah, exactly. Well, but now, I mean, that's a big thing at the amateur, the adult amateur level in terms of people giving lessons, who are amateurs. And, if your friend calls up and knows you're a good golfer, that's a very murky area. I can't believe it was that murky back in the day for a high school kid. But that same kid wound up being the assistant pro at Maple Bluff that summer. And then another kid from Janesville wound up being the assistant pro at Janesville Country Club.
Well, that's a great story all the way along. But it does show you the strictness of and the honorability, I think, of the game of golf, just in that whole description. Whether it was USGA or WIAA amateur status regulations at the time, they were adhered to. And everything, there wasn't any questioning about those things. And golfers, in this particular case, because of the honorable element to it, and I don't know how long it was after that meet where that was determined, but it could have been a couple of days, maybe even a week or so. All of a sudden, the player who has won is disqualified because that was how you handled things in the game of golf.
Right.
And I'm sure that I'm trying to think of what year was, and maybe when the WSGA was actually formally organized and had officials assisting at any, I'm willing to wager that they probably didn't have any officials at that game. It was a matter of the administrators of the event, along with WIAA officials back in that day, tracking all of this down and finally being able to make a decision at some point after the meet is over.
Yeah, I can't. I started covering the state tournament at Lake Arrowhead, and I don't remember that era's version of Gary Wild or John Jensen or those folks back then, Dan Stolper. But certainly they've added to what we've done here at the state high school tournament. Tom, we've got less than 10 minutes left, and I have three things I want to get to. First of all, your relationship with at the WIA with the Coaches Association. I know before you came aboard, the coaches, and namely, he just passed, Don Marks, worked with Deb Hauser to get the state tournaments down to University Ridge. But I think that kind of triggered basically a long relationship. The Coaches Association, in my opinion, has been very good about trying to advocate for the sport. How has that looked from your end, and how would you describe your relationship with the coaches?
Never have I had more fun. Never have I had a better group of people to be able to work with in order to help enhance opportunities for student athletes. And the Coaches Association has so much meaning. I've called and talked with everyone. Adam McDonald is now in charge. Brian Scrobel has been for a long time. Brian Babinski over in Green Bay. It stretches. The list just goes on. Don Marks goes back to a lot of those things with all of this. The Coaches Association for the Game of Golf has everything in the right place in order to provide education-based athletics in the sport of golf. And I just want to add that the reality of the University Ridge is actually a story between Doug Chickering and Dennis Tiziani, where Dennis was the UW coach, and at about 1 in the morning, he decided to call Doug Chickering because he was so upset that the courses were being changed from year to year to year, and University Ridge was just being started. And that is how call is how things went to University Ridge. That is the truth to that.
That is so funny. I can only imagine the next day at the office, Deb, get it done. I don't want to get calls in the middle of the night from Tiz.
It was done in the middle of the night, correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is funny. What do you see as you depart the future of the sport at the high school level? I know with all the sports you administer and your colleagues, the kids are being, I don't want to say pressured, but there's an influence to try to get them to be the best they can be. What that means for the best athlete versus the, number five on the golf team is a big difference. How do you see that future being shaped at the high school level?
Yeah, it's a great question. I certainly see technology and electronic elements advancing, and it's time for someone to take that into those next steps. It is very challenging for those things to take place, but you're seeing it on the PGA Tour, and you are directly involved with all of that, Rob. So impressed with everything. And that's going to be a big part of it. The other element, I think, is going to be the amateur status part with name, image, and likeness elements in the sport of golf, and how that impacts individual golfers and how much those high-level players actually continue to play high school. I am very, very hopeful that representing your school, representing your community, your family, and so forth at the high school level continues to be large. But I think there's going to be a lot of things that tend to draw golfers and other student athletes to other interests. So my fingers remain crossed that is able to be managed and worked at very well. I also think, we have shown in coming out of COVID and so forth that we are able to go to various courses and utilize more than one. Here in Wisconsin, our Division I, II, and III coaches, they love to compete against one another and make comparisons. But some of that, in order for advancement and expansion to really occur, they're going to have to look at what can we do as far as multiple courses are concerned.
I think it's been telling that we haven't really lost anybody, maybe a couple kids to the IMG and some of the prep academies, but they all love to play high school golf, and they all love their teams. And I McKenna Nelson, who is the great golfer out of Beaver Dam,
yep.
It's so fun to hear her parents talk about how much it means to her to have a team to play with. and then Abby Hendrickson, who got her DeForest team to the state tournament, the same thing. Last question, Tom, what's next for you?
Rob, I'll tell you what.
Which golf course will you be rangering at? I guess that's the best.
I'm going to take some time to play some golf. I can tell you that. And I also have a boat, and I like to get out and do a little fishing. That boat gets used about 3 or 4 times a year right now. It's going to get a little more use than that. But I can guarantee you there will be some golf in the future. As a matter of fact, you know, we have a radio station here in Stevens Point, WSBT,
yep,
that the owner loves to do golf tournaments. And we had the special opportunity to work with you and Gary and so many others at the Senior U.S. Open. And we are making arrangements to do the U.S. Open at Erin Hills coming up in June. So looking forward to doing things like that and just being it, not looking to steal any roles that you and Gary have by any means. We're just looking to provide some additional understanding and knowledge of the game of golf and perhaps some others, some other sports, to people here in central Wisconsin. So those right now, just some volunteer work to try to help continue to promote this great sport.
Well, Tom, I think I speak for everybody on behalf of the media. You've mentioned what you've done for us, and we do appreciate it. And your willingness to always take calls on all these topics that are so important to the coaches and the golfers, the parents, the families. I really thank you for that, but really thank you for a lifetime of helping out high school athletes and trying to put some good into Rob Reichel. That was really a hard job at a young age for you, but I think you've done a good job.
He was the easiest. I'm very proud of him. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for everything that you have done for the great game. I can't tell you how much this has all meant to me. I am going to miss so many people in the list. You got to most of them somewhere along the line, but this list of ours just goes on and on with the people that we've been associated. And I wish everybody got the opportunity to work in golf and work in the state of Wisconsin the way that you and I have. And sorry that you are out in Arizona missing this freeze period that we are in, but nonetheless, we love it when you are back here, and it means so much the promotion that you have made. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Spring will be here in no time. I appreciate you joining us here on Talking.Golf, and best down the road. That's Tom Szafranski of the WIA here on Talking.Golf.